News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. The White House has ordered cabinet members or secretaries to notify the president's chief of staff if they ever can't perform their duties. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby says the order comes after learning of Defense Secretary Austin's surprise illness last week.
That's not the way this is supposed to happen. The president understands that, and that's why he wants the chief of staff to take a look at processes across the administration and agencies here, and that's why DOD is also looking at their own procedures to make sure that that doesn't happen again.
The Biden administration is facing criticism and credibility questions after the Pentagon chief kept his hospitalization a secret for several days, even from the White House. A group of conservative House Republicans is not happy with a proposed budget deal to fund the government this year. But House Speaker Johnson defended the framework agreement during an interview today on the Salem Radio Network.
We only control one half of one third of the federal government, right? One chamber of Congress. So under those circumstances, we got a really good deal here.
Congress is facing a mid-January deadline to fund parts of the government and avert a partial shutdown. Federal regulators are extending the grounding of some Boeing jets after an Alaska Airlines plane lost a door plug used to cover optional emergency exits.
A key question, according to the NTSB, whether bolts used to help secure the door plug in that Boeing 737 MAX 9 jet were ever installed. Alaska Airlines and United both report finding loose bolts after the FAA grounded the jets, suggesting quality issues. The plugs are installed by Spirit Aerosystems, which has a history of manufacturing problems.
That's correspondent Julie Walker. Winter storms walloping the U.S. with blizzards, tornadoes, and flooding. More at townhall.com.
Relief factor, pain relief that's natural, pain relief that works, and pain relief that attacks the source of the pain. That's the experience of tens of thousands of Americans who are taking Relief Factor right now. See their incredible video endorsements at ReliefFactor.com and then order your three-week quick starter pack for just $19.95. That's less than a dollar a day. Find out if it can work for you like it works for me by ordering your three-week quick starter pack today. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com. Be the next success story.
Progressive presents advice on new teen drivers.
You know, the hardest part about... Oh. Teaching your teen to drive is the chafing from the seatbelt. But the best part is the grip strength you built in your knuckles. Okay, now let's pull out of the driveway.
Here's another tip. Offset a chunk of the cost of adding a teen to your insurance with Progressive's Teen Driver Discount and get a break from the break. Progressive.
This KMTQ News Flash, powered by Palm Mortuaries and Cemeteries. Stay active, be healthy. They'd rather wait. A tight housing market helped local home prices increase slightly last year, although 2023 was still the slowest year for sales in at least a decade. Las Vegas Realtors reports the median sales price for an existing single-family home in December was $449,900, up nearly 6% from the same time in 2022, but well below the all-time record of $482,000 that was hit back in May of 2022. More than 3,700 homes were on the market last month without any offer being made. That's down more than 36% from December of 2022. More than 29,000 existing homes sold last year. That's down big time from the previous year, 2022, and more than 35,000 homes changed hands. Local real estate experts say tight housing supply slowed sales during last year, but kept the home prices up. With CES 2024 officially underway, Las Vegas' convention season is looking pretty good. The city's four largest trade shows on track, and local convention officials predicting more than 1.3 million business visitors will use the Las Vegas Convention Center this year. Steve Hill, the president and CEO of the Las Vegas Convention and Visitors Authority, says the convention center is pretty much at capacity every January through May. He says conventions here in Las Vegas also benefit those shows, since research shows conventions that happen here, they enjoy 10% better attendance. And it's the beginning of the end for the former Terrible's Hotel Casino in Jean. That closed property is being torn down to make way for a new industrial park. Demolition of the property began in December. Take AM 670 with you wherever you go. Check out our website, 670kmzq.com, 670kmzq.com, and click on that Listen Live button.
We still haven't beaten COVID-19. Its new strain has caused an alarming increase in hospitalizations. Give superpowers to your family with updated vaccines from Pfizer-BioNTech or Moderna that reduce the risk of serious illness and hospitalization. Remember, you can vaccinate your children as early as 6 months of age. Check with your healthcare provider or visit immunizenevada.org and get them vaccinated. With health, there is life.
This message is sponsored by Immunize Nevada, aired in cooperation with the Nevada Broadcasters Association and this station.
KMCQ on-time traffic is powered by Meineke Car Centers. Stop in today and get a synthetic blend oil change for only $34.95.
Except for a minor accident on the east side of the valley, not having too much trouble getting around on our freeways. That wreck is on 95 northbound after Boulder Highway. A couple cars there on the right shoulder out of the travel lanes. Northbound 95 again near Boulder Highway. Also an injury accident still being cleared up at the east side intersection of Bonanza and Nellis. All clear on 215, I-15, and Summerlin Parkway. Another chilly day in the valley. Afternoon highs expected to stop in the low 50s under clear sunny skies. 32 degrees right now. And a 40% chance of rain and snow in the Spring Mountains tonight. I'm Mark Thomas with your on-time traffic and weather on AM 670 KMZQ.
Best way to get something done, if it holds near and dear to you, that you like to be able to. Anyway, America is a nation that can be defined in a single word. I was going to put him.
Check it out.
And Joan, Shingang, I'm going to pass by, Shanga.
Can I just say that of all the idiots? In all the idiot villages, in all the idiot worlds, you stand alone.
Number one, time is running out. Number two.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kevin Wall.
Fun lovers and truth seekers, you have come to the right place. It is live and local for a Wednesday, a hump day. Good to have you with us. Great to have you a part of our show today. It's live and local. It's everything you need to know to start your day. Trust me on this one. It's going to be an exciting one. We've got the GOP debate coming up, Ron DeSantis and Nikki Haley. We'll be talking about that a bunch. One thing we've been doing over the course of the last week, and that is kind of dissecting the December jobs report, which showed, 216,000 jobs were created last month. The unemployment rate remained unchanged at 3.7%, and the labor force participation rate fell to 62.5%. Joining us now is Elaine Parker. She is the president of Job Creators Network Foundation and joins us. Elaine, thanks for being a part of the show today.
Good morning, Kevin. Thanks so much for having me.
Tell me what you take from these numbers, and let's drill down on some of these numbers that we're seeing as a result of this December jobs report.
Yeah, you really do have to drill down into these reports and take a look at what's really happening beneath the surface, because on the top line, it certainly was a surprising number. It appeared that it had beat expectations. But when you take a deeper dive into the numbers, it really shows that the labor market is far weaker than it appears. And Exhibit A is the downward revisions in 2023 of 434,000 jobs. And Friday's report alone for December showed a revision down for October and November of 71,000. That's 10 straight months in a row of downward revisions that do not get any headlines at all after the fact. And so the everyday ordinary Americans don't realize that these reports are not beating expectations, and the unemployment rate is far weaker. You mentioned that the labor force participation rate went down. Well, that's because nearly 700,000 Americans left the workforce altogether. And so we now have full-time workers numbers that plunged 1.5 million, and that is very detrimental to our labor force overall. And where we're seeing the jobs created is troublesome as well, because they're being created disproportionately in unproductive government jobs. That doesn't help the economy because they are taxpayer-funded jobs.
Elaine, I always marvel at the reporting that goes with these weekly and monthly job reports, and where they say it was better than the experts expected. My question is, does that really matter, whether it's better or worse than what was expected by the economists?
That's a great question. We should have you reporting real time when those numbers come out. Well, look, it is the expectations. When you take out the government jobs that were created, the number not only didn't beat expectations, it failed to meet them, because the average number of jobs, of government jobs created in 2023 was 56,000 jobs a month. And so when you take out those jobs, those unproductive jobs, you've got many, many months, including this recent report, where the country failed to meet the so-called experts' expectations. And where we're seeing those jobs created, guess where? IRS agents hired to harass our small business owners.
Wow. Wow. Is there anything positive? I want to be as fair as I possibly can. Is there light at the end of the tunnel as we move into a new year?
The details of this jobs report, it's really covered up by the headlines. And our small business owners, overall the economy is being propped up by credit card debt. We're at $1.2 trillion. We've never been that high before. High interest rates and low credit scores, because we're seeing delinquencies rise as well. There's just a limit to how much consumers can incur. And we do see cracks in the armor. And, there's a point where the house of cards is going to fall. And we do a monthly poll of small business owners. Job Creators Network, for your listeners, is a national small business advocacy organization. And so we poll small business owners nationally about how they're doing, what they feel about the economy, and many other issues that are impacting just small business owners. And only 24% of small business owners have a favorable view of economic conditions. And that's because inflation has been killing them for the last 2.5 years. And although the rate of inflation has decreased and moderated, prices are so elevated that they're unable to increase prices on consumers, because consumers are hurting so badly. And so our small business owners are such a huge part of our economy. They are really the tip of the spear on what's happening. And the Biden administration doesn't seem interested or even care about how our small business owners are doing.
Again, Elaine Parker joining us, the president of Job Creators Network Foundation. And I've got to ask you, is there anything that the Biden administration could do in the short term to make things better for small businesses, for John Q. Public?
Sure. The Biden administration needs to focus on policies that lead to pro-growth. The Tax Cuts and Jobs Act needs to be made permanent. There are provisions that have already started expiring. And as those provisions expire throughout 24 and 25, those are going to be direct impacts on our small business owners, as well as everyday ordinary Americans. They need to stop the reckless spending. Clearly, the reckless spending is driving inflation, which is, of course, making the Fed react. And we've seen aggressive moves by the Fed to get inflation under control. And those are the things that are hurting our small business owners and everyday ordinary Americans. And this administration just has not shown that it is willing to change course in any way.
From what you know of current events, are you do you have any reason at all for optimism that the government will respond, will do some of these things that you're talking about?
I do not, based on what they have said, because we have an administration and a president that is wearing the moniker of Bidenomics in a positive way and trying to spin every month how Bidenomics is working. And like I said, we are a small business advocacy organization. I have small business owners that I talk to on a regular basis. And what they tell me, plus our polling, and what they tell me is that inflation and high prices are killing them. And if the administration heard what I heard directly from small business owners, I think they would I think that they would reverse course, but they're not interested in listening. They have an agenda that they want, and it's focused on big government and high taxes and regulations.
We're going to have a presidential debate. Only two candidates on the GOP side, Nikki Haley and Ron DeSantis. Is it a good bet that jobs are going to be a major part of what's going to be happening in our presidential election come November?
You know, I hope so. I mean, we're a nonpartisan organization, but, you know, I do listen to what the candidates are saying. And I don't think that the candidates have talked enough about small business. And the plight of small business, because they have really suffered, starting with the pandemic, all the way to now. They took it the hardest under the pandemic. Remember, they weren't essential. They weren't kept open during the pandemic. They were shut down. And of course, inflation, high credit, supply chain issues, labor issues have impacted them in a disproportionate way in comparison to big corporations. And so I would love to hear candidates on the campaign trail talk more about what they would do for small businesses to get them back on track. There's 30 million small business owners in this country. They employ 60 million people. So you're talking about 90 million people dependent on the success of the economy. I think they should be a bigger topic on these debate stages.
I want to ask you about Donald J. Trump. He is not going to be a part of the debate. He is not doing much other than campaigning in Iowa and New Hampshire. He will be campaigning here in Nevada in the coming weeks and months. Was he good for small businesses?
The policies out of the Trump administration were very beneficial to our small business owners. One of the biggest legislative accomplishments of the Trump administration, of course, was the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which we sounded the alarm for and fought for, incredibly hard, because we knew small businesses needed the tax cut, and that was just a blessing to them. It was like rocket fuel to the economy, and we saw the greatest economy we had seen in a decade because of the policies. The economic policies that came out of the Trump administration and how they impacted small businesses. And so if we could go back to pre-pandemic times, we would be in a much better position. As a matter of fact, as we came out of the pandemic, because of the foundational economic policies that were coming, that the Trump administration had implemented, like the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, We were on track to have the fastest recovery out of any recession we had ever seen. It was the Biden administration that came in on day one and destabilized our economy by beginning its war on our domestic energy by stopping that Keystone pipeline. And then every other step they've made since then has been a war on our domestic energy.
Elaine, anybody else in the Republican field other than Donald J. Trump that you've taken a look at their policies towards small business and you say, this would be okay, this one would be okay, this candidate makes some sense when it comes to small business. Anybody like that is still around?
Well, look, I can't opine on specific candidates. We don't endorse any specific candidates, but we do focus on listening to what policies are going to be pro-growth for our small businesses, which includes, low taxes, low regulations, greater access to capital, opportunities for small businesses to grow and thrive. And of course, once all those things come into play, we'll have lower inflation, price levels, and interest rates that would come down and make it easier for small businesses to get access to credit, because right now credit has dried up for our small businesses. Large corporations don't have trouble getting access to credit whenever they need it. Our small businesses really do. So while I can't endorse a candidate, I can tell you what kind of policies will help our small businesses and be like rocket fuel to our economy and get us back on track.
I know you can't endorse, but you can at least look at the policies in a given jurisdiction. And I'm just curious, the state of Florida, is it small business friendly?
Well, fortunately, you're talking to somebody who lives in Florida, and it is very small business friendly. I can tell you that throughout the pandemic, this state was a leader under the leadership of Governor DeSantis. He did a fantastic job managing not only the economy, but balancing the health and safety of the people who live here with the pandemic, with the health of our economy. And because of those policies, this state was able to lead in recovery and opening. And one of the other priorities that the governor had was to get our kids back in school. I had a senior in high school at the time, and, you know, she wanted to go to school. And she was back at school as quickly as possible. She had to be masked up, unfortunately, but she was back at school as quickly as possible and trying to enjoy her senior year at the time. But it was a tough time, and it was, you know, courageous leaders like Governor DeSantis and Governor Kemp and Governor Noem and Governor Ducey out in Arizona that were able to push back and you know, not shut down their states. And because of that, those are the states that you saw lead the way.
Elaine, in our final minute, how can folks find out more about Job Creators Network Foundation?
They can go to jobcreatorsnetwork.com, and they can take a look at our polling, our alerts. They can sign up to receive them. There's a lot of great information on there, and if they're interested in supporting the organization, they can do that too.
Elaine, thanks so much. I appreciate you being a part of the show today. We really enjoy getting folks who know what they're talking about on the radio. Thanks so much. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Kevin.
There she is, Elaine Parker, the president of Job Creators Network Foundation, JCNF. That's what they go by. Stick around. More to do as we continue. Oh, where is Lloyd Austin? What is he doing today? And does the president even know? Oh, it gets worse and worse. Trust me, they tried to walk this thing back, and it this dog won't hunt. Trust me on that one. We'll talk about that more coming up on AM 670 KMZQ.
The revolution is being broadcast. Wayne Allen Root, this afternoon, 3 to 6 on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Hey, Kevin Wall here. A few years ago, a friend invited me for an evening of fun at Ichabod's Lounge. Now, Ichabod's isn't in my neighborhood, and yeah, I had to drive an extra 10 minutes. Boy, am I glad I did. What I didn't know at the time was that Ichabod's had been there for over 3 decades and family-owned for over 20 years. It's one of the top gaming bars in Las Vegas with the best promotions and amazing monthly cash giveaways and payouts. And I love their food. Ichabod's features incredible menu items, including seafood, steaks, burgers, pastas, and 5 daily specials. And their kitchen is open 24 hours a day for you late-night foodies. What do I like best about Ichabod's? Their old-school Vegas atmosphere. Their bartenders and servers are super friendly. When everyone else is cutting back, Ichabod's continues to super serve its customers. And you'll love their nightly entertainment at the Piano Bar. You want to win? Then I'll see you at Ichabod's Vintage Vegas Dining, Gaming Lounge, and Piano Bar on East Flamingo at Pecos.
Our community is in crisis. Pets are being abandoned in our streets, and our animals need you. Lerner and Rowe is asking you to join them in supporting Nevada SPCA now by adopting or fostering a dog, cat, or small pet. Nevada SPCA is Southern Nevada's original life-saving shelter and exists entirely on your donations. Give happiness today at NevadaSPCA.org.
Hey, fellow business owners, Kevin Wall here, and I've got a game changer for you. When it comes to your team's safety and your business's success, think Blue Sky for workers' compensation insurance. Blue Sky Insurance is a locally owned and operated independent insurance brokerage focused on solving your small business insurance needs. You know that accidents can throw any business owner a curveball, but if you work with Blue Sky, you can consider your bases covered. Owners Steve and Amy Miller will help you with a tailored plan designed to handle the accidents and let you do what you do best. Run your business. Whether you've been in business for years or you're just starting out, call Blue Sky today. Do it right now, 702-410-8020, or visit them online at blueskylv.com. Blue Sky Insurance, your partner in workplace safety, 702-410-8020, or online at blueskylv.com. And tell them Kevin Wall sent you.
Hello, this is mein Auto. And this is meine key. And there is only one place I trust with meine key. Meine key car care. They even offer financing options, so I can fix now and pay over time. Ooh, I love financing and options and meine key and American cheese. Remember, I only trust meine key with meine key, your one-stop shop for total car care.
See store for details.
Stop in today and get a synthetic blend oil change for only $34.95.
When was your last trip to the dentist? Has it been a few years? 5 years? More? Hey, Kevin Wall here. For years, I went without dental care, and then I found Dr. Joe Willardson at True Dentistry. Dr. Joe and his caring staff converted me from a scared, high-anxiety patient to one that breezes through exams. Whether it's been years since your last dental visit, or if you just haven't found a good dentist in Vegas yet, I hope you'll do what I did. Call True Dentistry, 702-434-4800. The number again, 702-434-4800. 702-434-4800. Right now, True Dentistry is offering a free smile simulation to all new patients. A $150 value, absolutely free. Be sure to use your annual insurance benefits before the end of the year. True Dentistry has two convenient Valley locations in the Southwest and in Summerlin. Call 702-434-4800. That's 434-4800. Or check them out at TrueDentistry.com and tell them Kevin Wall sent you.
You're listening to Live and Local with Kevin Wall on AM 670 KMZQ. Talk radio done right.
Coming up top of the hour, Kash Patel, former chief of staff for the Department of Defense. This should be interesting. Talking about Lloyd Austin and the primary race in the Republican Party and his support of Donald J. Trump. Kash Patel will be coming up at 7:05. Also, one of the things we're going to do is we're going to talk about this whole controversy involving Lloyd Austin. Why was he off the grid for 4 or 5 days? Why did the president not know what the hell was going on? Now, the Biden administration tried to walk this whole thing back. They trotted out Pat Ryder. He is a major general. And he read a statement on Lloyd Austin's medical condition. And to me, it's more confusing than ever. This is cut one. Go.
As part of Secretary Austin's routinely recommended health screening, he has undergone regular prostate-specific antigen PSA surveillance. Changes in his laboratory evaluation in early December 2023 identified prostate cancer, which required treatment. On December 22, 2023, after consultation with his medical team, he was admitted to Walter Reed National Military Medical Center and underwent a minimally invasive surgical procedure called a prostatectomy to treat and cure prostate cancer. He was under general anesthesia during this procedure. Secretary Austin recovered uneventfully from his surgery and returned home the next morning. His prostate cancer was detected early and his prognosis is excellent. On January 1st, 2024, Secretary Austin was admitted to Walter Reed National Military Medical Center with complications from the December 22nd procedure, including nausea with severe abdominal, hip, and leg pain. Initial evaluation revealed a urinary tract infection. On January 2, the decision was made to transfer him to the ICU for close monitoring and a higher level of care. Further evaluation revealed abdominal fluid collections impairing the function of his small intestines. This resulted in the backup of his intestinal contents, which was treated by placing a tube through his nose to drain his stomach. The abdominal fluid collections were drained by non-surgical drain placement. He's progressed steadily throughout his stay. His infection is cleared. He continues to make progress, and we anticipate a full recovery, although this can be a slow process. During the stay, Secretary Austin never lost consciousness and never underwent general anesthesia. Prostate cancer is the most common cause of cancer among American men, and it impacts 1 in every 8 men and 1 in every 6 African-American men during their lifetime. Despite the frequency of prostate cancer, discussions about screening, treatment, and support are often deeply personal and private ones. Early screening is important for detection and treatment of prostate cancer, and people should talk to their doctors to see what screening is appropriate for them. End statement. Secretary Austin continues to recover well and remains in good spirits. He's in contact with his senior staff and has full access to required secure communications capabilities and continues to